We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I was, there's good news. Good evening.
Wait, remember The Replacements?
With prominent figures on the right embracing and parroting the dangerous white nationalist conspiracy theory known as the Great Replacement, it's worth noting that in addition to being deeply racist, bigoted, and dehumanizing, it's also incredibly stupid. Something happened this weekend, and we're going to do our best to address it now while appreciating that we might not be the best people to talk about it. But on Saturday, a gunman entered a supermarket in a black neighborhood in Buffalo with an assault weapon and shot 13 people. Killing 10 of them. It's an absolute nightmare.
But as you know, the number one story today is not only tragic, it is tragically common, because the attack in Buffalo this weekend is not the first overtly racist mass shooting this country has witnessed in recent years. It's a truly horrific crime. And of course, our hearts are with the victims and their families and their community. In this case, a predominantly black neighborhood that the suspect targeted after spelling out his motivations clearly in an online rant where he referred to something called replacement theory, a white supremacist conspiracy based on the idea that white people will be replaced by people of color. Obviously, that is racist and hateful and crazy. Also, if you think white people are being replaced, then who's shopping at Vineyard Vines? It's a quality product. Don't get me wrong.
His presidency, Donald Trump tried to fan the flames of a racist conspiracy theory by claiming the Democrats were somehow organizing caravans of migrants to cross the southern border for their own political benefit and even handing out cash to incentivize people to come to the U.S.
This is an invasion. I was badly criticized for using the word invasion. It's an invasion.
People hate the word invasion, but that's what it is. It's an invasion of drugs and criminals and people.
Mexico should step up and stop this onslaught, this invasion into our country.
The Democrats want to invite caravan after caravan of illegal aliens into our country.
A large group of people, they call it a caravan. Do you know how the caravan started? Does everybody know what this means? I think the Democrats had something to do with it.
What is he doing? Is that like a game of racist charades? Is he dealing invisible cards? Which is something I bet he tried as his casinos before they went bankrupt.
And that's a six for you, a six for you. And when you look at that, it's another blackjack for the dealer.
To no one's surprise, the racist caravan hysteria had a habit of conveniently popping up during election cycles and then quietly receding when the elections were over, because it was obviously just a cynical tool to scare people and stir up Trump's base. And as the New York Times reported in 2018, it clearly had an effect on Trump's voters. As the Times put it, Trump's dystopian imagery has clearly left an impression with some, including a 75-year-old Republican in northern Minnesota who said she was afraid that migrant gangs could take over people's summer lake houses in the state. What's to stop them? We have a lot of people who live on lakes in the summer and winter someplace else. When they come back in the spring, their house would be occupied. Now, obviously, that's insane. If we've learned anything from movies, it's that if you have a lake house, you don't have to be worried about immigrants. You have to be worried about Jason, you guys. The more you focus on immigrants, the easier it gets for Jason. You're pointing your binoculars toward the southern border. Meanwhile, Jason's just licking his lips, strolling into your tool shed, waiting for night to fall. Picking out one of your tools. Now, it should be easy for a healthy political party and a healthy political system to condemn white nationalism, as well as the dangerous and deeply racist replacement theory that comes with it. And yet, of course, there are prominent figures on the right who insist, while spreading it themselves, that it doesn't even exist.
Where exactly is all this criminal white supremacy, this right-wing domestic terrorism that poses, quote, the most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland? Where is it? Well, of course, it doesn't exist.
If you were to assemble a list, a hierarchy of concerns or problems this country faces, where would white supremacy be on the list? Right up there with Russia, probably. It's actually not a real problem in America. The combined membership of every white supremacist organization in this country would be able to fit inside a college football stadium? White supremacy, that's the problem. This is a hoax.
First of all, you don't have to be a card-carrying member of a white supremacist organization to be a white supremacist. It's not Costco. You can be a white supremacist without being an official member, the same way you can watch movies without having a Blockbuster card. Can we go back to this part?
The combined membership of every white supremacist organization in this country would be able to fit inside a college football stadium?
First of all, a college football stadium could fit like 100,000 people, which is a ton of people. Have you ever watched a college football game, or you just stand outside the glass at the country club watching your rich pals play squash with that look on your face like you just got to Earth and you're trying to understand human behavior? Second, why don't you just do some journalism and find out? It's easy to just ask open-ended questions without answering them. Anyone can do that. This dude's like a search engine that just answers your questions with a series of more questions. He's Don't Ask Jeeves. How many ounces are in a cup? I have a question for you. How big is the cup? And why are the cups all different sizes? Why is the government trying to control you by telling you how many ounces you're allowed to have in one cup? And if you're only allowed to have 8 ounces in a cup, then where are all the other ounces going? Are they being stolen by a secret cabal of woke elites who are hoarding all the ounces for themselves while threatening to cancel you for daring to question their authority? And when you ask the barista at Starbucks to pour 1,000 ounces of coffee into your cup, well, they say that's not possible. And when you climb over the counter and claim it's your constitutional right to take as many biscotti as you want, will they have you arrested by the thought police and put you in a muzzle like Hannibal Lecter to shut you up because you're being, quote, annoying as Will that happen to you just like it happened to me yesterday? But of course, he wants to pretend it's not a problem because he's also openly and repeatedly promoted replacement theory on his show.
An unrelenting stream of immigration, but why? Well, Joe Biden just said it. To change the racial mix of the country. That's the reason, to reduce the political power of people whose ancestors lived here and dramatically increase the proportion of Americans newly arrived from the third world. In political terms, this policy is called the Great Replacement, the replacement of legacy Americans with more obedient people from faraway countries. Now, I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. But they become hysterical because that's what's happening, actually. Let's just say it, that's true. In other words, you're being replaced and there's nothing you can do about it. So shut up.
Truly a haunting laugh. I love the audacity of calling people on the left literally hysterical and then ending one of your rants with an insane terror giggle. Second, and more important, the so-called replacement theory is obviously racist, dangerous, and dehumanizing. But on top of everything else, it's also incredibly stupid. I mean, just think about it for like half a second. No one's being replaced. There's no capacity limit here. It's not like there's a bouncer who only lets two in when two leave. And yet that same bouncer somehow keeps letting in girls and cool dudes, even though you and your friend Todd have been at the front of the line for like half an hour. Again, though, just think about how breathtakingly dumb the logic here is. No one gets replaced when another person enters the country. The government doesn't come knocking on your door and say, hey, someone just crossed the border, so now you have to move to a different country. We're super sorry, pack your up, you're moving to Sweden. Here's a troll and a pair of clogs. Second, Just think about how dumb and dehumanizing it is to call migrants who are fleeing poverty and violence and coming here to seek a better life obedient. They're doing one of the most difficult things a human being can do, uprooting themselves and their families, leaving their homes, and making a dangerous trek to a foreign country. And they're doing it at great personal cost in the hopes of seeking a better life. For this theory to make any sense at all, you'd have to believe that all those people are just sitting at home waiting for a call from the Democratic National Committee telling them it's time to join the caravan and make the trek toward America. All right, everybody, pack up your stuff. I just got the call from Joe Biden. We're replacing the Hendersons, and good news, we're getting their Blockbuster membership. Prominent figures on the right have been parroting this depraved and deeply racist ideology for years now. And on top of being bigoted, dehumanizing, and dangerous, it's also just breathtakingly dumb. It's so dumb, even they can't actually explain the logic. They just toss out racist bull and say,
does everybody know what this means?
So where does anyone get an idea that monstrous? Well, it used to be only from the farthest right-wing fringe organizations, your Stormfronts, your neo-Nazis, but these days, you can see it every night on TV, thanks to Fox News host and deer caught masturbating in the headlights, Tucker Carlson. According to the New York Times, replacement theory is a central theme on Tucker's show. Their investigation found that his producers sometimes scoured his show's raw material from the same dark corners of the internet that the Buffalo Suspect did. Now, that doesn't mean Tucker's responsible for what happened. But I would hope it would give anyone pause to find out that their browser history matches that of a mass murderer. If I found out that Jeffrey Dahmer was really into The Lord of the Rings, I might switch over to the Narnia stuff. Okay, let's go visit Lion Jesus. Now, although it sounds crazy, and I can't believe I'm saying this, recent polls show that 50% of Republicans agree with this garbage. And not just because it's being mainstreamed by Fox News, but because it's being mainstreamed by high-ranking Republican officials like GOP conference chair and judge making a toddler cry at the talent show, Elise Stefanik, in a series of Facebook ads just last year. Stefanik's campaign claimed that radical Democrats' plan to grant amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants will overthrow our current electorate and create a permanent liberal majority in Washington. Oh, and you know what those liberals will do with their powerful permanent majority? Beg Joe Manchin for paid family leave, then when he doesn't vote for it, say, oh, okay then, is there something else we could do for you? What if we fed coal directly to dolphins? So that's terrible.
It's a story we've now seen dozens and dozens of times. And this time there was a small detail in the reporting from the New York Times that caught my eye. Just this one sentence. A gun dealer who said he sold the suspect an assault weapon in recent months described a routine transaction. We live in a country, and I don't know when it happened, where an 18-year-old boy goes into a gun dealership to buy an assault weapon, and it's a routine transaction under the same legal system that won't let a person buy a six-pack of Bud Light because it would be dangerous. But an assault rifle, that's routine now. The implication is that 18-year-old boys go into that gun dealer and buy weapons of war regularly. When a cable news host opens a show with a red-faced rant about white people being replaced, that's considered a typical episode of that show. Routine and typical. It's just another day. Words like shocking and stunning are slowly draining out of the conversation about mass shootings, and words like routine and typical are taking their place. I don't know what this means, but it feels like bad news on top of all the bad news. The usual voices are on TV today, blaming the dark corners of the internet and video games and offering thoughts and prayers, and that for sure is routine and typical. People are saying we should concern ourselves with mental health issues rather than gun control or motive. And maybe that's true in some cases, but in this case, the motive was crystal clear. This shooter is a white supremacist, and I'm sad that hearing that phrase, the shooter is a white supremacist, has also become routine. Incredibly sad. Now, those are just my thoughts on these events, but this news hit everyone differently, so here with her own response is one of our own writers, Amber Ruffin.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Seth is right. The news is awful. I feel like I feel unsafe. This is an extremely bad day, but a bad day for me might just be a good day for you.
How so, Amber?
Let me show you. Yes, it's a good day for you, not for me. And it's a good day for sailing at sea. Yes, it's a good day, 'cause none of us are free till it's a good day for you to denounce white supremacy.
Sorry, what?
Oh, no, man, I tried everything else. Maybe a little song will do it.
Oh, Amber, you think a song will change all this?
Dude, if this had been the original words to this old ass song, we may not be in this mess.
Amber.
Oh, my bad. Let's try 400 more closer looks.
All right, fair. Continue.
Thank you. And it's a good day for taking a nap. And it's a good day to dust off your cap. So pay attention and avoid all the traps. Yes, it's a good day to tell your old racist relatives you're not having their crap.
Amber?
Someone has to try to get through to them. I mean, have your attempts been successful?
Please continue.
I said to the sun, good morning, sun. It's time to illuminate. And he said to me, well, there's gotta be a way that we can get rid of all of this hate. 'Cause it's a good day to get a checkup. And it's a good day to fill up your cup. So take a deep breath, give your life a clean up. 'Cause it's a good day to realize that these white supremacists feel safe in this society we created. So it's the society that has to change and make these people uncomfortable. And a good way to start that is when you hear them say a racist thing, to tell them to shut the
Listen, I was counting in the car talking with my producer. I've done 15 of these. At least the ones I could count. And we keep having the conversation about Democrats will say guns, Republicans will say mental health, and nothing will change. And I'll probably do another one this year. Family after family, having nowhere to go with their grief. Is this the way we're supposed to live? Are we destined to just keep doing this city after city? Have we just resigned that this is what we are going to be?
My grandmother came from Russia, a satchel on her knee. My grandfather had his father's cap he brought from Italy. They'd heard about a country where life might let them win. They paid the fare to America, and there they melted in. Lovely Lady Liberty, with her book of recipes, and the finest one she's got is the Great American Melting Pot. The Great American Melting Pot.
America was founded by the English,
but also by the Germans, Dutch, and French.
The principle still sticks, our heritage is mixed.
So any kid could be the president.
You simply melt right in. It doesn't matter what your skin, it doesn't matter where you're from or your religion. You jump right in to the Great American Melting Pot. Great American Melting Pot. Ooh, what a stew, red, white, and blue. America was the new world, and Europe was the old. America was the land of hope, or so the legend told. On steamboats by the millions, in search of honest pay, those 19th century immigrants sailed to reach the USA. Lovely Lady Liberty, with her book of recipes, liberty and immigrants. They brought the country's customs, their language and their ways. They filled the factories to the soil, helped build the USA. Go on and ask your
Thanks for the songs from Husker Du. They Might Be Giants, Billie Holiday, Paul McCartney, and Schoolhouse Rock. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, and Amber Ruffin.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.